Okay, how many of you saw the royal wedding? Almost everybody. Weren't you proud of our presiding bishop? I mean, I am fascinated with the royals. I have to admit, I try not to buy People magazine and Us, but in the grocery store line, you know, you just kind of can't help picking them up while you're waiting. And I think they're kind of like modern-day Greek gods. They're gorgeous and famous, and we want to know all about their lives. We're especially interested when there's problems, divorces, affairs, what they're wearing. But what happened with the royal wedding that was so beautiful is that when Archbishop Michael Curry stood up there to preach, it became about more than just Harry and Meghan and everybody being interested in their relationship, because he brought in the third one. It became about the two of them and God and the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, all of the obsession with the royals was turned sort of from celebrity idolatry into an icon. And 2 billion people heard about Jesus. And it was awesome. It was awesome. Today is Trinity Sunday, and I'm going to talk to you about the third one. And I've got to tell you from the beginning that we are going to go to what Archbishop Rowan Williams calls the edge of words today. We're going to go to the edge of words because our human language, as beautiful and articulate as it is limited. And there is no way for us to adequately articulate the Trinity. But we can go to the very edge of our words and look beyond. So Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was one of the most learned of all Jews. He had spent his whole life studying the scripture, trying to understand God. But unlike the other Pharisees, Nicodemus recognized that Jesus was close to God. He didn't know exactly how, but he knew that Jesus had a special relationship with God. So Nicodemus was in a bind. He did not want to disappoint his colleagues who were busy trying to frame Jesus or condemn him. So he snuck to Jesus late at night. And Nicodemus calls Jesus rabbi, teacher, acknowledging that he does know something more about God than Nicodemus does. And he says, "Rabbi, I know that you must come from God because you're doing all these things. You're healing people." Jesus then proceeds to have a conversation with Nicodemus that is unlike any other conversation in the Gospels. Jesus tries to explain about the nature of God to Nicodemus. I don't think Nicodemus understands much of what he says, but I think Jesus was hoping that by talking to a man who had tried to understand God his whole life, that he might be able to reveal more about the divine nature to this man named Nicodemus. So Jesus tries to explain about this third one, this Spirit of God. He says you have to be born not of flesh, but of the Spirit. If you're going to see God, you have to be born of the Spirit. You have to understand that I am giving you a special presence of God, unlike any other that ever has been. The Jews understood God as one. Jesus came to show us that God could become human, and then Jesus gave us this gift, this third one, which he called Advocate, Paraclete, Holy Spirit, Comforter. And it is this third one who reveals to us about the nature of God. That God is relationship. That God has all love and all community within the divine self. That when it says in Scripture that we are made in the image of God, it means that we are made in the image of this Trinity that is ever moving and ever dancing and loving. Not we as individuals, but we together. And if you are married, but you don't have the third one in your relationship, your marriage will never be fulfilled. It will never be right. And if you are best friends, but you don't have the third one, your friendship will never be fulfilled and it will never be right. And by golly, Republicans and Democrats don't remember the third one. So is it going very well? No. We as human beings are created in the image of the three in one and one in three. And we are in a living, moving, breathing relationship with God and with each other. I want you to look at that window, the east window where the sun rises. You know, all liturgical churches face east, because the Son of God rose, and on Sunday morning we watch the sun rise, and the light filters through this window where we see the Christ seated on the throne of heaven from the book of Revelation. But if you look more closely, the window is framed in a triangle, which is the sign of the three in one and one in three. And you can see on the left is the hand of the Creator, God the Father. And above is the cross, the sign of Jesus, the crucified one. And on the right, the dove, the sign of the Holy Spirit, the third one, the most mysterious one, the one who wants to make known to us who he is. And who speaks to us, and who longs to be heard. That one came to you in your baptism and has never left you, and reveals himself to you all the time. My husband this week bought me a little book. It's by Carlos Rovelli. He's a quantum physicist, but it's a book for gerbils like me that don't know any math. And this book, using English language, tries to explain about the time-space continuum and about quantum physics. In this book, Rovelli talks about a great sculptor who came and spoke at a university. And this great sculptor said that when he was just 15 years old, he went to a museum. There on display were some of the sculptures from Rodin. And this young boy all of a sudden had a moment when he felt connected. He realized that he had a gift for making sculptures. He realized that he could do something more than what Rodin had done, and that it was his place to do that, and that there were artists before him, and artists would come after him who would further the art even further. But he knew where his place was. His place in the movement of art. And from that day forward, he knew what his call was from God. We are so interconnected, you and I, in so many more ways than we realize. We are so much like that Trinity. Think for a minute with me about tomorrow, Memorial Day. We're going to remember these young men and some women, many of them 19, 20 years old, who died on the beaches of France for us, who died in the jungles of Vietnam, who died in the deserts of the Middle East. And you and I are here today because of the fact that they died. And it's so easy to forget how interconnected we are, how our lives are made possible because of the lives of others who we don't even know, whose names we can't speak. This week, one of our parishioners, a little 2-year-old boy that I baptized, a happy, jolly fellow named Henry, was playing while he was at the cathedral school, and he started seeming lethargic, and he kept pressing on his back. The teachers called his mom, and she came and brought him to the doctor. They rushed him to the hospital, and Henry has a cancerous tumor that is wrapped around his spine. So we started praying, and the Daughters of the King started praying, and everyone who knew about it started praying, and I put it out on Facebook, and hundreds of people started praying, and they went in for emergency surgery, which was supposed to last 7 or 8 hours. Henry's made it through the surgery. They got most of it. There's still a little bit left, and the oncology team is going to attack it this week. And people are praying, and they continue to pray, and they're sending in. By the way, if you want to send something, he likes Hot Wheels. That's what we're sending. The boy is going to have more Hot Wheels than any boy I know. But we are all so interconnected. Our hearts are hurting as this 2-year-old has to suffer in this way. Because we love one another. The Trinity is supposed to be something that we cannot fully understand in this lifetime. It's supposed to be incomprehensible, so relax, it's okay. Everybody in the church jokes about how the dean usually hands this off to somebody else to preach about, because it's impossible to talk about. But what I really think it boils down to is the fact that we're not alone, and that the whole universe is dancing and moving and changing all the time, from the atoms and the molecules to people and relationship to planets and galaxies. It's all part of the dance of God that goes far beyond our understanding. But whenever you and I are able to be in relationship with each other and with the third one, something very beautiful happens. Something that we cannot explain, but that we need more of in this world. So remember that you are people of the Spirit. And as you go about these days of summer, I urge you to watch The more you look for the Holy Spirit, the more you will see its movement. The more you will see the beauty of the world, the way God is speaking to you through your relationships with other people, through things that you read, thoughts that are loving, in the joy and in the sorrow. You are not alone. You have never been alone. And you never will be alone. Amen.